Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
The Talk Over podcast, inside the ride.
Hashtag Talk Over podcast. What's going on? DJ Double Stylus and DJ and Stylus.
Wagwan, Miji.
In the building.
We all say in the building. We're not in the same building.
But in the buildings.
We're inside the container.
On the airwaves.
Man's in the container ship.
In the boxes. What's going on? Call it.
I'm good, man. I'm all good, you know, brother. I'm feeling this early Monday fucking podclarting. I'm enjoying it, man. Early start on a Monday, productive in that.
Yeah, early morning clartage.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I feel fresh at this time still. All good, all good. So you've been away this week, innit?
Yeah, man. Prague. Prague. It was sick.
Prague with the wifey and that.
Yep, it was an enjoyable trip. Very good. Shout outs to Ellentone, DJ Ellentone, because he connected me with a DJ from Prague, DJ Battle Lady, and she put me on to a couple of local spots out
Battle
there.
Battle Lady?
DJ Battle Lady, yeah. I think that's, I mean, that's what she's...
mad name.
That's what she's called on Instagram, so I'm just assuming
DJ Battleship.
You can't do it like that, man. She's...
I'm joking.
She's good people. Good
I'm joking,
people.
Man. I'm joking.
And she connected me up with a couple of local spots in Prague. She told me where was going to be good. And true to her word, they were decent spots. So had a good little turn up. I wasn't working out there. It was just holiday vibes, basically.
Good stuff, man. Ellentone does all them. He's like doing reviews when he's on holidays and that. You see him reviewing the hotel. Yeah, he like reviews the hotel rooms and all that. Gets around, shows everyone the spots.
Sick.
On some wish you were here flex.
Yeah. Nice.
Funny guy, man. So fresh now, bruv, yeah? In fact, you ain't fresh now. You said you was turning up and that, innit?
Yeah, it was not a relaxing holiday, man. Like it was definitely a lot of alcohol, a lot of food. And yeah, a lot of partying, but
fair enough.
It was all good, man.
Fair dues. Slightly different to my trip, mate.
Yeah, you had a relaxing
Slightly went on a detox week, and Double went on a frigging turn up, you know.
Absolutely, bruv. Absolutely. You know, I feel like I sacrificed my 20s just through working, and now I'm just like, fuck it, you know, I'm turning up at every opportunity.
Bro, that's mad. I swear I've had this conversation before because we did the complete opposite, innit? Slowed down, stopped drinking, and then Double all of a sudden just started waking up on bathroom floors and that.
Like, yeah. You know what? I'm pretty sure you were actually the catalyst for this. There was a turning point.
I wasn't the catalyst, bro.
No, listen.
Did I feed you liquor?
There was a turning point because I never used to drink, and I'm pretty sure I came up and did a party with you in Manchester. And
yeah,
then
Young Bane,
after that
the
was,
Mr. Litty ting.
After yeah, that's it. It was the Mr. Litty, and then after that, I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm just gonna just drink now.
Because I remember saying to you, man, enjoy yourself, bro. You never turn up no more. You never turn up, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
Next thing is that alcohol's anonymous.
And now I'm out here, bro. Out here. No, it's not. It's not bad. It's not that bad. But I do enjoy a party. I don't relax that much at the moment.
Need the balance, mate. You gotta have a little bit of fun every now and again, innit?
In it, so
I'm just learning to relax a little bit now, but instead of just being super intense work all the time, I was just like drilling myself every day, work, like only this year I've learned to just switch off from time to time and just chill and watch a film or just relax. Wifey was like, I feel like you've just chilled out a bit this year, and she calls me Ann, obviously I'm not stylist to the wifey. I was like, yeah, I think I have. It's mad. I never used to be able to do that though. I never used to be able to start itching.
Yeah, you know what?
The rat race gets older, innit?
I think it's really important, actually, to have that downtime and have time where you switch off. I used to punish myself, bruv. I used to proper just be relentless. And if I was sat down doing nothing, then I needed to be working. And what happened was I just burnt myself out. And we've spoken about it a little bit in previous episodes, especially the episode we did about anxiety and that. That was one of the triggers, was the fact that I was just doing minimal sleep and just working relentlessly. But you know what? I took a holiday at one point. And in fact, as well, this time last year, I was in Thailand for 2.5 weeks and I got back and nothing had changed. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I suddenly lost all my jobs and I was really behind on music and all this. And I realised, actually, in that short space of time that I had a holiday, it hasn't got away from me. Do you know what I mean? Like, the game is still here and yeah. my position in the game still remains. And last year happened to be my most productive year in terms of what I was putting out on the YouTube channel. So having that break at the start of the year actually kickstarted me from February to really get it in.
So it's mad, isn't it, when you step away, bro, and you think everything's just running away from you, and in reality, nothing ain't changing in like 2 weeks.
That's the thing. That's the thing, man. And
it's crazy, man. It's
the pressure of what we do as DJs, like, a lot of people forget to live life as well as, like, because we all, majority of us, absolutely love what we do, and obviously it doesn't feel like a proper graft a lot of the time, but we also neglect, I mean, I especially did, you neglect, like, the actual just live life side of things, innit? Like, just take a little bit of time off, like other people, like normal people do. Go traveling a little bit, go and see
like
the world.
Like normal people do, you know, because well, the DJs were not normal, bro.
No, but normal, like, in conventional 9-to-5 jobs, they get, like, 2 or 3 weeks paid holiday leave, do you know what I mean, in a year. So they get to go away for a couple of weeks and
imagine
just
DJ's
switch off from
sick
work.
Leave.
Yeah, bruv. Imagine.
That'd be dope.
Imagine. But yeah, man, anyway, it's just I think it's important to actually have downtime. Even in the week, like, I've actually decided that my working days, sat in the studio working on things, I'm not going to be working more than 6 hours in a day now. Because okay. I do the work in the clubs at night and I'm so relentless with everything else. But what I make sure is those 6 hours are very productive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that.
So
I hear that.
I'm getting a very productive 6 hours worth of work done every day. And then and it means I'm not working, otherwise I end up like working 14-hour days and all. It's ridiculous, bruv. You can't do it. It's not sustainable. it's not sustainable, man, not at all.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
That was a good start.
Welcome to the pod clart.
Welcome to the clartage.
Yes.
We got a couple of things to talk about today, innit?
Kick it off, man.
We put a little thing out on the Talkover pod this morning. I tweeted about it. One of the main talking points of this week, I feel like everywhere we go on social media at the minute, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the big conversational subject is around record pools.
Yeah.
The main one being DJ City as well. Like, obviously, a lot of the homies all use it. A lot of DJs on my timeline are all using it. And going off just a little gist of what I've been reading on socials this week, I think a lot of people are wondering why, or thinking that it's kind of slowed down or it's falling off a little bit. No one's really put any specifics what they want to talk about in regards to the record pools. Rachel K hit me up and she just put, talk about record pools, seen loads of tweets about them, man. Real DJ RVP says DJ music pool seems to be a massive discussion at the mo. A few other people tweeted the Talkover pod account. I've not got it up at the minute. But yeah, record pools, man. Let's chop it up, G. Do you use any? What record pools do you use?
Absolutely none.
You don't use any?
No.
None at all? Mad.
None at all.
I swear you use my DJ City account.
Well, yeah, on an unofficial level.
Every time I log in, yeah, and it's like, I go to put the feedback there and the record's already been downloaded and that. I'm like,
On an unofficial level, yeah, I'll skip into your account every now and then when I need to get something. But yeah, I don't use record pools. I'm not really aware of. No, tell a lie. I use Digiwax. Digiwax is one, but
wow, that is old school, bro.
Ancient. I tell you why I use it, because actually sometimes it's good for instrumentals. However, they've just changed recently. It used to be a free service. And they've just changed and they have a paywall now. So you can download the dirty version of the song, but you can't download any other edits or any other versions that they have without paying for it.
Because it was a free site for years, that, isn't it?
Yeah. But
I remember using that when it first started.
The difference is they're slow. They're really behind on everything. So I used to just, if I ever needed an instrumental that I couldn't find anywhere else, some, like, a lot of the time Digiwax would have it available, but I never used it in a sense of discovering new music or getting new music. It literally was just if I need a quick clean edit that I can't that I don't have or need access to real quick for a radio mix, or if I need an instrumental of something, I'd hop on there and grab it. But now they put it all behind a paywall. I'm not going to pay for a membership because they're very slow with their music. Does that make sense? They're not on point with it. They don't have their finger on the pulse like that. They're very behind. So
I think that's what a lot of people have said in regards to DJ City at the minute, like that they've slowed down with the releases, innit? Like, I remember when I first started using the pool, they used to have everything like up front, and all the UK stuff would be on there like really quick. And I've even noticed it. I feel like the stuff isn't getting up there quick enough. Do you know what I mean? And I can sort like whether the labels are sending it out first, or people are going, artists are going directly to the streaming sites and just doing their own releases, innit?
Like, one thing, and I'm going to talk about this from a UK rap perspective, right? So anyone listening that plays house or drum and bass or any kind of electronic music, I'm not talking, although it might still apply, I'm not covering those genres with this set statement. It's not like a blanket statement, but I feel like with the UK rap side of things, a lot of artists that are breaking through with big tunes, a lot of them are doing it independently. And the thing is, they're not clued up enough to know what DJ City even is. Do you know what I mean? So they're not necessarily, they don't have relationships there. So they don't, so first of all, they're not, there's no relationship there between them and DJ City, which is why they wouldn't be sending it to DJ City to upload. And secondly, what a lot of these independent artists are doing, they're not even reaching out to DJs, bruv. They're just catering.
You know what, you just nailed it. I just wrote it in my notes that second, like, a DJ is even important to the artist anymore.
Not really, bruv.
I literally wrote it down that second.
they're just catering to their fan base by putting it on, a lot of the time, the YouTube video or Spotify. But I would say 90% of the successful stuff breaking through independently right now is coming through because of YouTube, and because of a clip or something on their YouTube video going viral on social media, and that's what's blowing the songs up. But these guys are independents. Now, obviously, the ones that get signed, so I'm just going to use, are you familiar with Par Salu, this guy?
Okay,
I'm going to use him as an example, right? He was popping, I mean, not popping, but he had a couple of tunes last year that he dropped. And then this Frontline one, straight out the gates this year, Frontline has gone viral because of a clip on Twitter.
Okay.
And obviously, like, the clip shows part of the video and the hook and everyone comparing him to Jay Huss, basically. And, like, how, obviously, they're both from the Gambia and, they're both.
Fusion put me on that record, to be fair. I wasn't even on that song. You posted a clip into the WhatsApp and I filtered it into my sets and that. But
it's a hard tune. It's hard. But, like, that wasn't posted out to DJs. It wasn't any DJs that broke that tune. It was a YouTube video and a clip that was posted up on Twitter and Instagram. And then from that, the kids got signed off of that song. And then that is where the labels get involved, and I think that's where is that song up on DJ City? I think it is, isn't it?
I think that one is on DJ City, to be fair.
So I think that's probably because once it's got signed, the label gets involved, and the label knows the channels to put it out. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the independent artists, they don't have that kind of relationship with DJ City. And where DJ City don't have necessarily like A&Rs in place to find these songs and put them on, that's where the gap is happening. One thing I think that's worth noting is a lot of people, and a lot of the people that are complaining about DJ City and complaining about the record pools not having enough stuff, I think part of the problem is they're just relying on the record pools for all of their music.
That's not a shout.
And we've said it, bruv, how many times have we said it now? Like, whether it's DJ City or whether it's any other record pool that you use, don't rely just on that for your music. Otherwise,
You still have to go digging, man. That's where I feel like a lot of the art of DJing got lost a little bit. Like,
yeah, 100%.
I think because we're old school. Like, yeah, we had to. You couldn't get record pools back then, innit? So you would have to dig and source your own stuff. Even now, I go searching online on random blogs, remix sites. Like, I use some random stuff to source my music. But, yo, where did you get that remix? I'm like, if you did a bit of research and hunted around, you could find the same stuff. But like you say, if you just go into the same location for the same shit,
Yeah.
It's a bit lazy, mate, really.
Really lazy. Right. I think record pools are a great place to find, like, the baseline of music.
Yeah, just
baseline music, but do you know what I mean? Yeah, core. Like, to have your core music collection and, like, good little edits and stuff and instrumentals and acapellas when they're available, and good tools for, like, if you're a club DJ or a radio DJ as well, you can get your clean edits and stuff from there. But I still just feel like keep that there and still use it, but you need to explore and find stuff, man. Find other ingredients to cook with, like. And
do you think because of the way technology is now, with all these record pools and how easy music is, it's just automatically made DJs lazier, isn't it?
No, I think,
like, not even on purpose though, because it's a different kind of DJ now, isn't it?
That's the thing. I don't think it's made them lazy. I think we're just oversaturated with lazy DJs. The fact that no one, bruv, I'm gonna just be real with it.
Like, it's
no
real,
one,
it's real.
No
it's
one
real.
Wants to spend
you.
The time practicing in their bedroom. Like, bruv, from 15 years old, when I bought my first set of decks, every day after school, I was just straight into my bedroom practicing every single fucking day. Do you know what I mean? Like, all the time from 15 years old. And I played in the club when I was like, I think I did my first club set when I was 17, maybe 18 or something. I can't remember exactly. But, like, that's years worth of graft before I got in the clubs. But the problem is, these days, they don't want to put in those years of work. They just want to pop on Instagram, get in the club, get some free drinks, get some girls, and that's it. Like, it's not, it's almost like the music is an afterthought. Because the image is everything else first. And that's where the laziness is. There are, bruv, there are a select few young DJs that I've met who are just about the music. People that I see in the clubs that I know are up-and-coming DJs. And I'm dropping tunes that the rest of the club don't know, but those particular people absolutely do know. And they're the type of DJs that I want to see win, because I can see you're out in the clubs properly vibing to the music. Absolutely loving life. Do you know what I mean? And they're the kind of DJs. But I think generally, a lot of the young DJs or the new up-and-coming DJs, the actual music and discovering music is just an afterthought for them. Like,
I wonder why these record pools have slowed down then in regards to releases. I wonder if there's some technicalities there that are not allowing them to put these songs up quicker than what they would have done beforehand. Because like a lot of the pools I used, the shit went up quick. I don't just feel like progressively over time, they've just got a bit slower and a bit slower, do you know what I mean?
Well,
there's got to be an underlying reason for that. Obviously, it's probably a combination of things.
I don't know the full technical side of it, but
same.
DJ City are merging with BeatSource, aren't they?
Yep.
It could literally just be
a case
of...
part of a merger, like you say.
That's the thing.
Merging companies.
It could be part of the fact that maybe some stuff's getting put onto BeatSource now, and then eventually DJ City as DJ City will just disappear.
We'll move over. Yeah.
And everything
so,
will
so,
be put
So they're
onto
not giving everything out on DJ City, innit, to like press people over the... driving traffic, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, to anyone listening, this is just us... creating a theory. Nothing official has come from DJ City. Like,
yeah,
we haven't heard any. We've got no insider information, so we're just hypothesising about it. But
that's a word.
I love long words at the moment. But yeah, so nothing official. This isn't an official statement from DJ City, of course. But I think, mate, that could have something to do with it. It could be that there's some kind of merger happening, that they're actually pushing the traffic over. I don't know, but. I just think, you know what, here's another thing as well. A lot of DJs ask me how I managed to secure a lot of the relationships that I have with artists to get these interviews and all of this stuff. And one way is because I spend a lot of time searching for new music. And when I find it, I reach out to the artist directly and be like, can you send me your song? Because if you do that before anyone else has asked... straight away you're creating that relationship. So that's one massive benefit to actually going out and discovering, because bruv, there's been a large number of artists now that I've messaged before anyone else, or before very few people really give a shit, and asked them to send me their song. And then when they finally blow up, I'm one of the first DJs that ever asked for their song. So they remember that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
And the relationships are so important, man.
Yeah.
It's like you say, if you pick them up early as well, it's mad this conversation's happening now, because me and the wifey were having this conversation in the car yesterday.
Yeah.
We were talking about radio.
Yeah.
And I was saying, look, back in the day, like literally when I was doing Drive, that was part of it. Like a lot of the relationships I have with these artists now that have gone on to be huge and have got mass followings and are verified and all that, like they're still cool with me because
yeah,
I was that guy that reached out in the inbox before anyone was putting them on. They would come on the show, interview and all that kind of stuff, and the relationship was there from early, obviously, trying to reach out to someone who's already made. It's not impossible, but
the odds
of them hitting you back and being able to build a legitimate relationship is pretty solid. So yeah, unearthing the gems from early and artist discovery,
and relationship thing is
so important.
That's a really important. Whether you do radio, whether you do clubs, if you want to do interviews, no matter what, just having that artist, just having that kind of relationship with an artist, even if you're just a club DJ, and you, I don't mean just a club DJ, but you know what I mean? Even if you only do clubs, you don't do anything else, having those kind of relationships with artists is really important. And you never know where it might lead to as well. That artist one day might get to a point where they're starting to do a tour and they need a DJ. And they might think, oh, wow, like DJ Double was holding me down from early.
That's happened, bro. That happened with me and Manny, same thing. I got a tour off it with Misha B before she blew.
Yeah.
Before she got the record deal, same thing. And that proves that was a proven thing. We did a full UK tour, did some European dates and that. And literally putting her on before anyone else was messing with her, innit? Before X Factor popped, before all that stuff.
Well, so
when she eventually got the deal, she was like, Stye, do you want to come on tour? You want to be my DJ?
And then got
some mixed placements with Sony and that. Good paid work to put some mixtapes together. It's like,
opens
the relationship
up doors.
Stuff definitely pays off, man. It's massively fucking dope.
And one of my sliding doors moments was the decision not to be Styler G's DJ. Because, you know, you remember I got asked to be Styler G's DJ because I kind of helped unearth him and get his career kick-started. And I decided not to do it, but they asked me if I would do it first.
And decided not to do it, you know?
Yeah, well, bro, you know what? I say it's a sliding doors moment, and it's something actually we should cover as a topic one time. I don't want to cover it now, but one thing we should cover it as a topic one time is I decided not to do it because at the time I was making... Like, I had a lot of momentum going on with what I was doing. Basically.
That's what he was going to say.
Basically, yeah.
At the time, he was getting paid.
No, and to I felt at the time that to then be a tour DJ for someone, the money wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in a position. I think Roman had just been born as well. So my son had just been born. So I had dependents, you know what I mean? Mouths to feed and that. And I felt like I couldn't make a decision to sacrifice my income and take that chance to then go on tour. Because although I believed in Stylo, at that particular time, the money wasn't there and I wasn't in a position where I could take a pay cut. But look at him now. The guy lives on an aeroplane, bruv. He's flying all over the world, performing everywhere.
Yeah, he had his little moment where he was could have fell off, you know, but
yeah.
Stylo, he's built for it, man. Like, he's come through super strong.
Massively. So, that's why I say it's a sliding doors moment, bruv, because I'd be zipping in and out of the country every week to a different... The guys, bruv, do you realise how many places Stylo G's playing right now? Everywhere.
Yeah, bro.
Every week, he's in a different country.
Bro.
Mad.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't even see Stylo no more. See, that's the thing. That's another one, relationships-wise.
Yeah.
We booked him at Jam.
Yeah.
Like, from early. I swear we paid him, like, £500 or something, bro. Like, my man come down and was just like, look, as long as there's weed on the rider. Guys just going out for spliffs every fucking 5 minutes, bro.
Yeah.
But, like, since then, like, the link was there. And then when 2-4 come to shoot the iPhone thing not long ago, obviously Stylo jumped on the remix and came to Manny. And
yeah,
just come
course.
And partied with us for the night. Jumped on the video and that. I'm like, yeah, legit. Obviously, now we can't even see my guy now. He's gone.
Well, but the good thing is, I still have a very good relationship with him. So I can call him right now if I wanted to and ask him to line up another dub plate. Do you know what I mean? Every time he drops a tune, he's dropping dub plates for me. So, like...
Humble flex.
I'm actually just emphasising the importance now of having that relationship from early. Because if I hit him up and he'd never heard of me, I'd have to pay for the dub plate. Do you know what I mean?
That.
But what's happening now is because I helped establish him and I believed in him from early, that's what cemented our relationship, because he knows I'm not someone who's just jumping on the bandwagon now because he's had a record with Vybz Kartel and Nicki Minaj. Like, I jumped on it when nobody cared. I was out there pushing Stylo G.
I'm trying to think what was the first record.
Well, his first record was...
What was the first style of record you was bumping? So his, I've not even got my laptop on me, man.
Very first record that was out was called My Ute, which was like a grime flex.
With Ice Kid, was
Yeah,
it?
Like a grime flex from early...
No One Get Rushed, that one.
Yeah, that's the one. But what happened was I actually lined up an interview with him. We did the interview, and then afterwards he was playing me loads of songs, and then we were going to just shoot a studio video. And the song that he wanted to shoot, I said no. I said, let's play another one. And I chose the song that we were going to do. And that particular one was Call Me a Yardie. And within a week, that video had gone viral. And there was label interest. Shit, so they reshot the video and then relaunched it as a single. And then that was like the rebirth of Stylo G as a proper dancehall star, was straight off of Call Me a Yardie. And that was because... I basically said to him, nah, don't do this song, do that one. That's the one that's going to pop. And yeah, from there, the rest is history, brother. Now the guy's touring the world, doing mad songs with Nicki Minaj, Vibes Cartel. And the good thing is as well, I have access to his music that's not released because they send me stuff to listen to. Do you know what I mean? Like, check this out.
Yeah, man.
So,
yeah. That's proper. So DJ, stop being lazy, innit, and build relationships with these artists, man.
That's it.
Break new artists, innit? Discover people.
Yeah, and
don't
this
just
is the thing as well.
Depend on the
like,
record pools, man.
Well, it's actually decent to add your own flavor. So if you have an artist that you really like and they have a song that you really like, if you can fit it in your mixes or in your club sets or in your radio shows, just do it, man, because it's music. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to just be non-stop bangers all the time. Like, actually play a bit of new music and do some discovery. So keep the record
pools. I remember when these record pools weren't even part of the conversation because they weren't even about, and all music was sourced by yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like, it shows like this is part of the discussion now so much because people have become dependent on them.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like, don't let that be part of the problem, innit? Just allow that for you to source more music yourself, innit? Instead of being dependent on pools. The pools are dope.
Yeah.
But combine them with bits of your own taste and your own knowledge and find your own stuff, you get me?
Combine them, you know?
Is that a bad word?
I'd say
it's
combine.
It's not up there with hypothesize, but you know.
No, combine probably is the right word. But sorry.
This guy, is it a fucking English lesson?
I don't mean to be pedantic, bruv. I'm sorry.
Pedantic.
You love it. Anyway, but you know what? You know what?
I can't remember what I was going to flipping say then. That was going somewhere as
You said about combinating record pools.
I was going to say, I use a combination. Combinada. Yeah. I use like 7 different pools, man. But then mix it up with my own stuff. Then I go on iTunes and I buy shit. Like,
that's the thing.
I'll find stuff on Spotify on the playlists. Like, I follow bare random playlists, man.
Yeah, that's a good way to discover new music, actually, is following other people's playlists. And this is the other thing as well, right? Don't be afraid to listen to other DJs' mixes and pick up on new music through other DJs. I feel like some DJs, and I used to be a lot like this, if I didn't discover someone and another DJ was putting me on, I was a bit reluctant and I was kind of in a, I guess I sort of had that attitude of, well, if I didn't find them for myself, then they can't be that good. And a perfect example is Kendrick Lamar. I remember someone told me very early on, you need to check this guy Kendrick Lamar out.
Double downed the King Kendrick, you know.
He had one of his, what was it called? One of his early mixtapes was I can't remember the name of it.
I'm not a huge Kendrick fan. He's obviously dope, but...
I can't remember, but anyway, because I didn't discover him for myself and this other DJ put me onto him, I was kind of reluctant and I listened to one or two songs, but I listened with a bit of like a closed ear, if that makes sense. And it wasn't until Good Kid, Mad City dropped and everyone was gassing about it. I shit you not, bruv, and I remember this vividly. I had to listen to that album 5 times through because I was like, everyone is gassing about this guy. I don't get it and I'm not really convinced, but let me try and convince myself. And it was on the 5th time through where I was like, nah, this guy actually definitely, he has something special. Like, he's a sick rapper. And that's when I became a Kendrick Lamar fan. But that's a perfect example of, I should have listened early, because Then I would have been, I would have been
Kendrick, you know.
Well, brother, oh, this is before anyone over here really cared on a mass scale. Do you know what I mean? This is well before Good Kid, Mad City, when his Section 80, that was the name of the mixtape, I think. Section 80 mixtape. That's what I was told about. And I just decided not to really go on it. But I think a lot of DJs have that attitude still of like, well, if I didn't discover it for myself, then how good can it really be? But I think you need to just be open-minded and allow other DJs to educate you as well. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That.
Like,
I hear that.
And I'm still getting it now. I was like I've said before on the Clark, like, I'll listen to one of your mixes and I'll hear songs from an artist that I've never heard of before. And so I'll then become a fan of that artist and I'll start championing their music as well. But it just means I didn't discover them, but I'm now pushing.
Well, music's universal, man. If man discovers the next artist, cool, innit? Like, don't mean you can't love or support it the same way as the next man, innit? Like,
exactly.
There's so much music dropping now anyway. So you need them little nudges and little bits of help from time to time because there's too much. You can't discover it all on your own. It's impossible. Mate.
There's so much.
Impossible.
So much. You know what? Talking about so much music, yeah, that's a perfect segue, right? So,
I did that on purpose. Did you like that?
I love what you did there. So much music leads me to talk about the library management. and how to arrange, like, crates and stuff. So, I use Serato. You use Serato,
obviously. I'm going to have to get my Serato out now. One sec. Let me get my lappy out.
I know a lot of people use, like, Record Box as well, which I believe... Record
Drybox.
Box is... You can use
empty box.
You can use computer software with Record Box, can't you? Like, I mean, use a laptop. I think Record Box works from a laptop as well as just on USBs.
Yeah, above. I've never used it, man. I don't know the details of Record Box. Like, I'm pretty stubborn with software, innit? Like, literally Serato or Nada for me.
Yeah, same. I've been Serato for like 10 plus years, maybe even 12 years now, I think.
It's all I've used since it dropped. Like, I remember when Serato came out, I could not believe that I could use all my MP3s.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, I never used vinyl to start with when I first got Serato. It was the CDJ thing, and then I went back to vinyl. I kind of left vinyl and went back again. Yeah. I could not believe the fact that I could use all my shit, like, with that technology. I was so gassed.
Crazy,
so
huh?
Gassed. Oh, shit. One sec. My laptop's dead, bro. What's going on here?
Uh-oh. Your laptop's dead. So, anyway, library management... While your laptop just recovers, the library management thing, like, first of all, ever since I was using MP3s, I was very meticulous with it. Like, on my hard drive, so I have a folder that I download music to, and then from that folder I'll distribute the music into different genres. So I have I have a download folder, and then I have a music folder, and within the music folder I have every different genre that I collect, basically. So I've got hip hop and R&B branched together, and then I've got house, I've got drum and bass.
Oh, you've got hip hop and R&B in the same crate?
Yeah, because a lot of the time I'm not even talking about Serato now, I'm talking about folders where it's actually held on the hard drive. So not even
into
Serato.
So you put them in folders on your desktop first and then drag them in?
Yeah, so I have a music folder, and within that I've got all of the different genres. So, yeah, I've got, like, Afrobeats, I've got bassline, dance, dancehall, drum and bass, dubstep, EDM, funk, garage, grime, hip-hop, R&B, house. Then I've got, like, all my live PA sets, reggaeton in one, and all of that. So, yeah.
This guy.
I've got it all organised, different genres. But more recently, to be honest, apart from Bashment, which has gone into the Bashment folder... and house, actually, which has gone into the house folder. Everything else I've just been dumping in my hip hop and R&B folder. So it's not even really hip hop and R&B anymore. That's just where my music is.
Okay.
And then I drag it all into Serato, into a new music folder, which is separated for each month. So now it's January, I drag all of this month's new music into that, and then I just sort through it as I go.
I did think about doing that, but then I was like, what's new to us that month might not catch on to the, like, takes a couple, maybe a month or a couple months for the audience to really catch on to it.
Yeah, so it's
true. I don't separate it into month releases, me. I just put it in genres,
right,
literally,
okay.
Like, straight down the middle. But I build them in my iTunes, yeah?
Yeah.
So I have all my genres in iTunes, same way as you, drum, bass, house, I have some random folders: Latin music, party breaks, hip hop, R&B, transitions, funky bassline, UK rap, whatever. All them in my iTunes. So when I load up my Serato, they all come up ready built. But then I have the smart. I build like smart crates or like separate crates within Serato.
Right. Okay.
Which I'll dump the new shit into.
Yeah.
So when I'm playing an open set, I know I can just flick through my normal crates that I built within my iTunes. But then if I'm like going into my power set and playing all the new shit, I can just jump into the crates that I've built within. So I essentially have two sets of crates that are the same, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then one has the overall of everything of that genre in, and then the new stuff I'll just chop and change within them crates of like what's hot and what's not for that specific like time. And I'll just like change that around every like couple of weeks or whatever and update it and drop new shit in it that way.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty much the same as what you do though, man. Like hip-hop, R&B, UK rap, funky, garage, bassline, old-school R&B. But then I have a few random ones in there. I have an instrumental folder, acapellas, DJ tools and loops and shit like that, Afrobeat, dancehall. So, yeah, mine's pretty straightforward, bro. I'm not going to lie. Like, I have my way of doing it. I did think about resetting and rebuilding everything this year. Like, a lot of people use all these smart crates and keywords and tag up stuff, and then like some even put them in the key, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
all color coded and stuff. I don't go that deep. I know what key stuff's in by ear, so it's kind of like I kind of know what works,
kind of flex. Yeah, I have a house folder, which is kind of I cut it down a lot at the middle of last year. I cut it down massively because I wasn't looking to do many more open format sets. I was kind of looking to go more specialist again, but I kept my house folder because I do have a couple of sets that pop up where I need it. And there in my house folder is where I have it, the key. I've got it arranged by key because I like how it looks. I like all the different colors of the key. I think it looks nice, so I did that.
It does look dope still. It's like when people use Logic and they change the color of every channel and that, and it just looks like a rainbow.
Yeah. But I've got three main folders in my Serato. No, four main folders in my Serato. So I've got the new music folder, which is like where everything gets imported to before I sort it out. I've got my radio folder, which I haven't really used in the last year because I've not really been doing radio.
What is that for? Radio edits, yeah?
Yeah, that's all.
I don't know why I still do it, but I still download all the cleans. Don't know why.
Yeah, so I know everything in that folder is clean because I've checked every single song over time. So everything in that folder is completely clean. So if I get called tomorrow to go and do some live radio set, I know that everything in is complied to radio, basically. It's completely clean.
Unless you do what I do and download an American clean where certain cuss words are allowed and Americans. It just blasts out a couple fuckers.
Yeah, but so the difference is everything in my radio folder I've listened through and checked. I don't just drop it in because it says it's clean. I have to listen through it first and check it, make sure 100% it's clean. So I know for a fact everything in there is squeaky clean. But like I said, that's a little bit behind because I haven't been on radio for over a year, so I haven't been dropping new stuff in there. The next folder I have is Club Crates, where I've got it arranged by genres. And then inside those genres, on a couple of them, like hip-hop and R&B, for example, I've got a folder just for warm-up tunes. I've got a folder for hip-hop.
Oh, snap. Yeah, I got warm-up joints in there still, like, actually. Now you just said that.
I've got like a folder for hip-hop throwbacks. I've got a folder for R&B throwbacks. So if I want to do an old-school set, I can just jump straight in and just draw for any of them. I've got a slow jams folder, so I can just jump in and do like a proper sick slow jam set that I love to do. Bruv, no one can touch me when it comes to slow jam sets.
I don't know, man. It's one of my strong points, you know. We might have to have a sound clash.
Yeah, it needs to happen.
Talk over sound clash.
Get loose slow jam edition.
I'm pretty confident with this. I'm confident with the slow jams, G. You know?
I've got like a mainstream or commercial folder, which I put in stuff that's charted or gone commercial. I've got what I call the main set folder. So that's the peak time of the night. This is all the bangers.
If I'm going to turn
up and do a guest set, this is pretty much the folder that I'm just going to be drawing.
What's yours
from.
Called? What's it called? Main set?
It's just called main set, basically.
Mine's called Power Hour.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, it's exactly the same principle.
Same thing.
I've got a new folder inside the clubs, inside the club folder for hip hop. I've got a new folder, so it's all stuff that's brand new to my club set, but I think will work. Okay. And then I've got an acapellas folder as well.
Yeah, yeah, same. Do you have I have a Motown and rock folder.
No, I've got, you know what,
that's the weirdest one. That's the weirdest one I own, because I had to do some random corporate thing one time and
there was some Motown and rock together.
Yeah, not, it shouldn't really be in the same crate, but I just thought I'm not going to use it too tough. Yeah, I just thought I'm not going to use it too tough.
I used to have
I'll just throw them all in the same thing.
Yeah, I used to have one called rock and indie, but I changed it. I never was really drawing for like rock music, and indie was about 10 years ago. So what I actually did was I deleted most of them and I kept like a couple of really bait ones, and then I put them in another club folder that I have that's called Student Anthems. So if I ever do one of these student nights and I get caught out where what I'm trying, if it's not working and I have to draw for like fucking Mr. Brightside or Seven Nation Army or something.
God.
You know them ones, those
those
emergency crates. So if I have to draw for that, then that's there. So, but I mean, that's a random folder. I've got anything. I've got like Blur, Song Number 2, and I've got Curtis Mayfield, Move On Up, and I've got Entrance, Set You Free, and stuff like that, and Mr. Brightside, all in that folder. It's all just like a random fuckery of, and like Queen, We Will Rock You. Do you know what I mean? Those kind of tunes that just, if you have to lift up a student
Thank
event.
Thank God I don't have to draw for any of them too tough.
That's the
They're
thing.
All in there though, but yeah, dead.
I can't remember the last time I played any of those songs, but just in case I get really stuck, I can go for it. Do you know what I mean?
I hear that.
And then the final folder I have is just called Music Library, and it's got every single genre in the folders, and then every song I have from that genre in those folders. The cleans, the instrumentals, the dirties, everything.
Oh shit. Oh, so you have all that in a crate with just everything in it?
Yeah, in a separate folder, because then I can actually, if I want to, I can just jump into the hip hop folder, and if I want to find some random throwback or random, just a proper random song at like 75 BPM, I just jump into the hip hop folder and just flick through, and then there will be something there that I'm like, oh, sick, I haven't played that for ages. And then I'll flex, you know what I mean? So just draw into that collection once or twice. And it's always just good if you need to just get something.
I feel like we're not too technical with like with the crates then. Like looking at it, it's more of genres and separating stuff, right? Like I see people that go so deep with it.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it, like it's each to their own, isn't it? But I don't need it to be that deep, because I remember playing records when you didn't even have crates and you'd flick. Well, you had crates, but physical crates that you had to carry in your hand.
Yeah.
So like having everything like it's not an issue for me, like separating everything with the artist, the key, the BPM, like all that kind of stuff. Like it's not too deep for me, that as long as it's in the right genre.
Yeah.
And I've got some new shit ready, like I pretty much can just bounce around freely like that, innit? So it's not too, I've not got too much to share on that front in regards to organisation. As just more like genre for me, man.
Yeah, like you know, people, you know,
I've got, in fact, tell a lie, in R&B and hip hop in my smart crates, I have separated it a little bit into different styles of R&B. So if I open up the R&B crate, I've got heaters, slow jams, then ladies and classics. I just started building these a couple of weeks ago.
Just
to make it a little bit more specific, but even then, like under hip hop, I've got UK hip hop, rap, heaters, trap, and then classics. Again, I've just started building that up a little bit, but
yeah,
I probably won't even stick with that, you know, to be fair.
It's an ever evolving thing, isn't it? Like, I kind of like every, I'd say probably every 2 years, I redo my crates. So I'll start a new folder with all the subfolders, and then I'll start just dragging stuff across. And then if there's songs in there that I think, yeah, I've had that in there for a couple of years and I've never played it, then I'll just drag it out of the crate and just, I'll retire it completely. I just put it into the main library. And then I'll go through the other, the big folders again, and see if I can find any gems, you know, proper big tunes that are either slept on or songs that haven't been pulled out for ages. Do you know what I mean? Like that's why it's good to have all these genres in big collections, I think, to the side so that you can look through it if you want to just find some mad Drake throwback or a Tupac song that you haven't put in the clubs for ages, or, do you know what I mean, a 50 Cent banger that's a proper classic but you haven't played it for time. Stuff like that.
You know what I'd
like to see for people listening? If you guys aren't very protective over the way you do it, I'd love to see some screenshots of how people are arranging their Serato and record box folders. So yeah, if you're out there listening, if you're, I understand, like, some people don't want to share it because they want to just keep that for themselves, and that's cool. Well, it's not really cool. That makes you a bit of a dick. But if you have a way of screenshotting the way that you arrange your libraries, upload them on Twitter and then tag us at TalkOverPod, because I'd quite like to see the different styles and different ways. And you know what? Like, we might be able to take some ideas from each other. I'm going to do this. I'm going to post this out later on today, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get involved with this. I'll get involved. I don't mind sharing.
I think we could all, like, if we, I might see something that you post and feel actually that's a really, like, a decent way to arrange it, and it will improve how I do things. Or similarly, you might think, actually, yeah, that's a sick way to do things.
Let's all come together and help the Crate community.
The Crate community. Bruv, you know what? I feel like it is something that DJs need to do. Still. They need to reach out to each other and just fucking help each other a little bit more, bruv. Make this whole DJ community a nicer place to be.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. You know what I mean? It's easy to just get protective over the thing, innit, and just keep your head down, and man don't want to share or talk about anything. But at the end of the day, we're all in this together, mate.
100%. And it's one of those things, yeah. You know, like, I love this phrase, and it's like, if you use your candle to light someone else's candle, like, your flame doesn't get dimmer just because you've added it to someone else's. Like, that just means there's two flames burning now. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that is a perfect analogy for, like, success in the DJ world. You being successful or someone else being successful doesn't take away from your success. Like,
Double's on fire today.
Everyone can win, bro. I love you said I'm on fire because I just used the candle. And
I know. You like that. You like that one, innit? Come on.
I love it, bro. I love it.
It's passing the energy along. You lit my fire, cuz.
Yeah, I'm gonna post up. I just took a screenshot of how I arranged my hip hop and R&B crates. So I'm gonna post that up on the.
What, have you screenshotted that off your Mac? Yeah.
Yeah. Just screenshotted.
I've got that many. You're not gonna be able to see it though.
No, on my I've only done the hip hop and R&B crates. Not done every single crate so far. So, as an example of how, and I'm gonna post this up once this episode is live. I'm gonna post up this screenshot as well on the Talkover Pod Twitter. So at Talkover Pod on Twitter if you want to check that out. But also, yeah, screenshot your own crates and get them up online, man. Let's have a look, see how people are organizing them.
Yeah, that's a shout still. That's a shout.
All right, do you have a website?
Nope. I used to have a website, but for me personally now, I don't even think it's that important, bro, to be fair.
Do you know?
I don't, personally, for me now, like, I had one and I was using it, but just with the way socials are at the minute, I feel like, well, it's actually bad, actually. To be fair, it's not even a great shout thinking about it. I use my Insta, really, as a point of contact, but say that one rainy day comes and Insta just flops, then it's going to be like, maybe I should have a website. And I get why people have them in it. It centralises your stuff.
Yeah.
For me personally, though, it's not really affected me having one or not. I've not noticed a difference. I had one for years, then I got rid of it. Nothing changed.
For me
personally, I was just paying for the site, like, keeping it running, domains, etc., renewing, all that kind of stuff. And I just didn't really need to when I broke it down. As sick as it is to have one, you can just contact me through my Insta, man. And like you say, Insta is kind of like your digital CV these days. Do you know what I mean?
People 100%. Go in there.
They get a gist of what you're about. You've got your highlights. They can see what you've done, what you've got up to. They can see what you look like, what's going on, and there's a contact there. So it's like pretty much what a website does.
I wonder if DJs that deal a lot with the corporate world, I wonder if they have more of a necessity for websites, because obviously if you're dealing with like corporate companies and big companies that also have websites, you could say, you know, like, here's my website. But I think, I don't know, I used to have a website and I had it redesigned and it looked sick, but then, bruv, I haven't updated it for probably about 2 years. I haven't paid for it for over 2 years, and I just assumed that when the renewal came up, it would just disappear. I haven't even checked. I don't even know if it's still online anymore.
I'm going to go and have a look.
DJdouble.co.uk, basically.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look.
I don't know. I don't have any use for it because obviously all my video content goes up on YouTube. Our podcast goes out on Spotify and Apple Music. And all
yeah, it's
of
there, man. It looks all right as well. It's clean.
Bruv, it's a really good site, but I'm surprised they haven't just taken it down because I haven't paid for the hosting or anything for like over 2 years.
Yeah, you might not be able to access it now, though, because that's what happened with mine. And yeah, then eventually it just disappeared.
But everything that I put out in terms of content either goes out on Mixcloud, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And then the marketing for all of that goes on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, where everybody is anyway. So I feel like
exactly
driving people,
people
to a website.
People even use it as a central thing now. Like you say, people go to Insta, they go to YouTube.
Exactly.
Like,
and I think
driving
traffic to a website just means they have an extra click to do, which means, and also people like, it means you're going to have your website properly designed for use on phones because people are more online on their phones than they are on laptops and stuff. So I don't know, I just think, but I was speaking with a DJ who covers the main room at my Saturday night residency. I do the R&B room, and Just Craig, his name is DJ Just Craig. He was telling me that he actually uploads, he has his own server for his website, and he uploads his own mixes to his own server and then puts them out through Spotify and Apple Music. So he doesn't pay a provider or like a third party service. He has his own server for the mixer, which I think you better
hope he don't get flagged for that, mate, because he'll get a hefty bill on his doorstep.
Well, I don't know. I did say that. I don't know what I said to him about not getting flagged.
Well, Rusky tried it, didn't he? Rusky did his own platform and was uploading his mixes directly to his own app and doing it all that way. And he said it cost thousands.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Not surprised.
So like, it's a sick idea. It's dope, but I think that's on thin ice, that one, you know, if you get flagged for it.
Yeah. But
it's copyright, innit?
Yeah, I didn't consider that part. But I did say about getting flagged through Spotify, but I didn't think about the implications of actually having the stuff on the server. But, I just thought it was interesting, actually, because, like, I've not had any use. No one's used my contact form on my website for years. Everything comes through Insta or Facebook, or I just get phone calls. And
I think it's more of a flex, isn't it? It's more of a flex. Like, say, if corporates approach you and you can send them a snazzy, dope website, crispy, clean. Like, bro, I use Martin as an example. Martin Too Smooth again, always. Like, his website is G'd up. Right, let me go on his website now.
Oh, I'm not online right now, so I can't even look. Actually, yes, I am. Hold on one sec.
This studio's dope. I got a sick Wi-Fi in that, man. I'm loving it. I'm sat here down with the mic in between me. Left laptop on the left recording, laptop on the right with my Serato and my internet open. Hey.
Nice.
Loving it. Martin's is a prime example, bro. You go on his, and it's like a picture of him on stage on the front with like quotes from artists. Like Rihanna quoted, London's hottest DJ, blah, blah, blah. You can click to watch show reel. That pops up straight away. And there's like in the press with loads of if you're a corporate approaching this guy, like you go on there and like clients is at the bottom, Ministry, GQ, Nike, Bel Air, Live Nation, all these people, like it's fire.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But Martin's moving at a different level, innit? So whether it'd work for everybody else, like he's got the content to make it bang. Do you know what I mean?
See, that's the thing. He's got a lot of corporate contacts as well. Like, he has a lot of corporate clients. He does a lot of corporate work. So I think that's probably where it benefits. In terms of clubs, bro, I've never in my entire life been asked by a promoter or a club manager for a website. Like, I think we've spoken about the importance of having a press kit before, and obviously the website can just be used as that instead. If you keep it updated, use your website as your press kit. I have a press kit now, so if someone asks for a website, I'd just be like, I don't have one, but here's my press kit. And it's basically an offline version of the website. It's just an interesting one.
A lot of people put their press kits online and leave them there, innit, so they can just send out the link as and when it needs be, instead of having to upload it constantly and send it to people. So it's just there, just sending the download link and boom, do you know what I mean?
So that's the thing, I have mine in Dropbox, so I can either upload it as an attachment, or I can just send you, if it's on WhatsApp and someone's like, can you send me a press kit, I could just send them the link to the Dropbox thing, I just WhatsApp them that. But if it's an email, I'll always attach it.
Okay, okay.
Sorry.
That's dope. But yeah, personally for me, websites, don't know, man. Like, I could probably whip one up and make it look sick, and I've got dope shit I can put on there, but yeah. Not for me personally, but I guess everyone's different, innit, when it comes to websites.
I guess it's just down to how necessary it is for your business, innit?
And what you exactly, that's it. I think it's individual to each person's situation, man.
I don't think they're a bad thing. I'd never say to someone, don't have a website.
No, it's not a bad thing, by any means. No way.
I'd never say don't have a website, but I think it's one of those things where if you have a website and it's multiple pages, like if you have a website that has a photo gallery and it has a bio and it has a link to all your mixes or your videos or whatnot, the upkeep on that, you have to make sure, like if you've got an events diary, for example.
Yeah, that bit's long. I tried that, bro.
You've got to keep it updated, because there's nothing worse than clicking on someone's website and seeing like upcoming events, and then on the 5th of March 2004, they've got stuff still listed. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Dead. I hear that. The upkeep is long. Like, going off the ones I've seen that I think look the sickest, they're just short and snappy, and clean, but it just jumps out at you when you look at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's simple.
Definitely.
Like, people's attention, we've spoke about it, people's attention spans are short. They just want to see and get what they need to quick and keep it moving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. DJ, talk over website tips.
Talk over website tips from two DJs that don't really even have websites.
From two DJs that don't have websites. I had one for years, though, man. I've had a couple, bro, over the years.
Same.
I remember even building one on WordPress myself back in the day.
When I was, I didn't get that involved. I didn't build one.
Yeah, Maka.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that was today's subjects.
Yeah.
Ooh, that I've written down. Anyway, we've got a sick one for next week. We won't tell people what it is yet, but next week's going to be fun.
Next week's one is going to be fun. We've done some forward planning for this as well, so it's going to be dope.
For once,
we're actually planning it rather than just having a conversation. You can't give away the secrets. Don't tell them.
No, I'm not.
So, yeah, that's it. That's another Talk Over Pod Clark episode. Don't forget, of course, follow us on Twitter at Talk Over Pod. Get involved in the conversation. This week, please, if you feel like it, take a screenshot of your crates, how you arrange them, and fire them up to us on Twitter. We'd be quite interested to have a look. Plus, we can share them around and some people might benefit from that. So if you're a cool person, then do that.
That's dope. And let us know your thoughts on the record pools as well, man. Like, a lot of people have said they want us to talk about it, but they've not really said any specifics on what their gripes are. So feel free to share, mate.
Yeah.
But yeah, tweet us at Talk Over Pod for anything like that, innit? And Double will probably reply with some witty, funny shit because he's the guy for the Twitter, man. He's keeping it up.
I'm trying. So at Talk Over Pod on Twitter, hashtag Talk Over Pod Clart, and of course don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend, because we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, doing this weekly, man. It's the weekly DJ podcast.
Yeah, we're back on it this year, you know. Sticking at it, cuz.
Yes.
Monday morning shouts. All right, I'm going. I've got a meeting in 15 minutes.
You better run.
I'm out.
Peace.
Swag.